Good to see all of you here on this wonderful Sunday morning. Trust that all of us have assembled here at this place to offer our worship to God and to encourage one another as we seek Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are thankful that you have chosen to come and to worship with us. And if you have any questions about anything that you notice as we worship God, if you have any questions about anything that I say as we study together from the Word of God, please talk to us about that, and we would be happy to sit down together with you and with God's Word open between us and see what God might have to say that would be of help to us as we seek to serve Him and to please Him as we walk in this life. As we live in this world, we face the daily demands of life. For those who work, and I know that just about all of us work in some capacity, but for those of us who go to a job several days a week, there are the daily demands of projects, there are the daily demands of schedules, there are the daily demands of deadlines. For those who are in school, and I know that the school children are out right now, but guess what? Here in just a few weeks, that is going to start up again. For those of you who are in school, there are the daily demands of classes, of homework, of perhaps other school-related activities that will fill your time and take your attention. For those of us who are parents, there certainly are the daily demands of our children, caring for our children's needs, and not just providing for the physical needs that our children have, but providing for the emotional needs that our children have. Certainly, as Christians, providing for the spiritual needs of our children, and that is something that happens every day. And so really, no matter where we are in life, no matter what we are doing, the demands of life are very daily. So it is with being a Christian. It is a daily job. There are no off days from living for Christ. There are no vacations that we can take from following Christ. There is no early retirement program for being a Christian in the work that we do for Jesus Christ. If we are true disciples of His, we must seek Him, we must serve Him, not just one day or a couple of days a week, but we must do that every day of our life. And so this morning we want to look into the Scriptures and think about some things that the Bible has to say to us about daily Christianity. And we're going to think about three demands of daily Christianity this morning. There are other demands that Christianity makes of us on a daily basis, but these are three that I have chosen for us to consider for just a little while this morning. The first daily demand of Christianity is that those of us who are Christians need to take up our cross. Go to the Gospel of Luke for just a moment, in Luke chapter 9, the passage of Scripture that our brother Ryan read for us just a moment ago, says much the same thing that we're going to look at here in Luke chapter 9. But I like how Luke records the words of Jesus Christ, and I don't believe he just spoke these words that we have recorded for us here in Luke 9 on one occasion. Again, they are recorded at least in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel accounts on multiple occasions. That this is the same message that Jesus was teaching over and over again as He taught those who were disciples of His. And He said there at Luke chapter 9 at verse 23, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for My sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Some versions say he loses or forfeits his soul. Jesus was speaking these words here in Luke chapter 9 to His disciples, to, I think, even more specifically, to His apostles. And it was after, if you read back to verse 18, that Jesus had asked those who were apostles, those who had made the decision to come and follow Him, a very important question about who do the people out here, who do the Jews, who do the crowd say that I am? And of course, His disciples gave several answers to that particular question. Some thought that He was Elijah, some thought that He was Jeremiah, some thought that He was one of the other great prophets of old. But then Jesus got more specific with those who were His disciples, and He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And of course, Peter being the one for the group of the apostles, usually the one that was the first to speak up and answer the questions of Christ, he answered and said there at verse 19 that you are the Christ of God. And I believe that after Peter had confessed that true statement that Jesus really was the Messiah, that he really was the Christ of God, that now Christ, beginning at verse 23, goes on to tell his apostles here that if they truly believed what Peter had said, if they truly believed that Jesus was the Christ of God, that he was the Messiah, what that would mean in practical terms is what he speaks to them about in the next few verses, that they would have to commit themselves to follow Jesus Christ, and they would have to commit themselves to be a follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of their lives. This was not just a commitment that they were making to Christ as long as he was walking here in this world. There was going to be a time when he would ascend back to his Father, and they would be left not alone. He would send the Holy Spirit to comfort them, to guide them into their work and into the words that they were supposed to speak. But he would no longer be there with them in physical form, walking with them, helping them along the way. And so he wanted them to know that they were committing themselves to being his followers for the rest of their days here upon earth. That commitment, notice at verse 23, would involve each one of them as disciples of Christ. And we today, if we are truly Christians, it involves each one of us taking up our cross daily. We might wonder, why did Jesus use that kind of language? Why did he tell his disciples here? Why is he telling us that if we are going to become and be true followers of his, that we have to take up our cross daily? Well, in the preceding verses again, if you look back to verses 21 and 22, again, after Peter has confessed who Jesus really is, then Jesus says to them at verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." It was just as Jesus was soon to take up his cross, literally, physically take up that physical cross, and he was to die upon that cross for not only these disciples that he is addressing here, but for the whole world. And for us as followers of his today, that just as Jesus was soon to do that, to take up his cross and be killed on it, so their walk with him, and so our walk with him, would demand that they and us take up our cross by daily denying ourselves. That's really where Jesus started back in verse 23. He says, if you have this strong desire, if it really is your intent, if you have made the choice that you want to come and follow me, you must first deny yourself and take up your cross daily, and then you can follow me. What does it mean to deny self? I think there are a lot of specifics that are involved in denying ourselves. But at the very heart of denying ourselves is this idea of taking up our cross. It is this idea of putting self to death on a daily basis. It is not something that we just do once in our lifetime and we say that has taken care of everything for the rest of my life. It is certainly a decision, as we're going to look at here in just a moment in a couple of scriptures from the New Testament. It is a decision that we make at a very definite point in time that we have denied ourselves, that we are going to take up our cross. But the reason why I like Luke chapter 9 and Luke's accounting of the words of Jesus rather than Matthew or Mark's is because Luke says that Jesus uses the word daily here, that we must take up our cross daily. The Apostle Paul certainly was one who was taking up his cross. And we remember his very familiar words there in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. When he says about his own life that he had been crucified with Christ, he says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." I believe Paul is talking about the time when he became a Christian, the time that we read about back there in Acts chapter 9, that he saw Jesus as Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and Jesus told him to go into the city and to wait for 3 days, and then sent his servant Ananias to speak some words to him so that he could learn what he needed to do to become a Christian, what he needed to do to be saved. But when Paul made that decision that he was going to become now a follower of Jesus Christ, he says to us here in Galatians 2 and verse 20, at that definite point in time, he put his old self to death. Notice there he's speaking in the past tense at verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. But that decision that he had made at some point in the past, that had consequences, that had results for his everyday life. And every day of his life since that point in time, I would submit to you that he was continuing to deny himself. He was continuing to put himself to death. Yes, in the words of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, he was taking up his cross daily for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, we know a lot about Paul's former life, don't we? We probably know more from the scriptures about Paul's life before a Christian, before he became a Christian, than perhaps anyone else that is mentioned to us in the New Testament. And you think about Paul's former life and think about how difficult and how painful that must have been for the Apostle Paul, even how uncomfortable that must have been for him at times, to know all that he had done in his life prior to becoming a Christian, to know really that old man that was, he thought was doing right, he thought was serving God, but really he was serving sin. Really he was accomplishing the devil's purpose in his life before he became a Christian. And he still had to make that decision every day as he walked with Christ that he was not going to let that old man, that old self, take over his life again. That he was going to continue again to put that old man to death. That he was going to take up his cross daily. And he did that because he understood that's what being a Christian is all about. He understood that that is the demand that his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made of him. So we read here in Galatians chapter 5 at verse 24 that Paul says it was not only he who had been crucified with Christ, but it is all of us who have made the decision that we are going to follow Jesus Christ that must continue to put ourselves to death, that must continue to take up our cross daily for Him. And so Paul says at Galatians 5 and verse 24, now those who belong to Christ, that's those who have been buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, that's those who have made the decision again that we are going to follow Jesus wherever He goes. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We who are Christians crucified our flesh again. We crucified all of those fleshly desires, all of those fleshly passions, all of those lusts. And we have put to death our old self, and we did all of that again when Paul did that, when we were buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. And yet, even though that is the case, we must continue to crucify ourselves every day thereafter. We have to continue to make that decision that today, when we get out of bed, we are going to put ourselves to death. We are going to take up our cross for Christ and follow Him. We have to put aside all those old fleshly sinful desires. And even in this text, as he mentions back in verse 19, we have to put to death all of those old fleshly deeds. And so the old man is not just the inside, but the old man is also the outside as well. Coming back to our text there at Luke chapter 9, as we think about the words of Jesus Christ, as we think about the demand of what it takes for us to be Christians, at verse 24 of Luke chapter 9, Jesus, I believe, is telling us there that to take up our cross daily for Christ is again to lose our life every day for His sake. Again, what that exactly looks like in everybody's life may be a little bit different. What that looks like for me may be a little bit different than what it looks like for you, but the core concept that Jesus is trying to address and get across to His disciples and to us today is this idea again, we have to give up ourselves, we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves perhaps the things that we in the flesh would desire, that we would want to do. And we must lose our life for the sake of Jesus Christ. We must be true servants of His.
to take up our cross daily, also there from verse 25, is to give up whatever gain that this world offers us so that we can gain Christ eternally. He asked the question here, what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul? What good does it do us in the long run, in eternity, if we gain everything that there is to gain in this life, and yet we lose our own soul? And that's connected, of course, back to Jesus' statement in verse 24, that we have a decision to make, whether we're going to save our life now in this life, or whether we're going to lose our life for His sake so that we can save our life in eternity. All of these statements, of course, of Jesus Christ, even the statement of the Apostle Paul about himself, the statement that he made about all of us as Christians in Galatians chapter 5, all of these sayings are very, very difficult sayings, aren't they? This is not the easy road to walk, that of a Christian. And yet, this is exactly what Christ demands of us. I think it will help us. I know it will help us as we think about this demand that Jesus makes of us to take up our cross daily, to think about Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ as the head of His church, Jesus Christ as our master and we as His slaves, He does not ask us to do anything that He Himself has not yet done. And so we need to think back to the life of Jesus Christ as He walked here on earth. And we need to remember the fact, as Jesus even again says here in Luke 9 and verse 22, that Jesus took up His cross for us. And so certainly if we're going to claim to be Christians, we must take up our cross for Him. We must lay down our lives for Him, to accomplish His will, to do His work. That's the first daily demand. And really, if we don't start with that, anything else that we do is not going to matter much. Because we've got to get that truth firmly fixed in our mind that we need to take up our cross each day. But secondly, something that the Scriptures tell us that we need to do daily. Daily Christianity demands that each one of us search the Scriptures each day. I want you to go to the book of Acts for just a moment, in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17. And we read about some people here in the city of Berea that were doing this very thing. And I believe that their example is certainly worthy of our imitation today. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 10. Luke says to us there, "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures or searching the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men." As you read earlier here, as Acts chapter 17 opens, you find Paul and Silas in the city of Thessalonica. And they are there, of course, doing what they always do. They are preaching the gospel of Christ, going first to a synagogue of the Jews. And because of their work there in the city of Thessalonica, there was an uproar, you remember, in the city. It seemed like some unbelieving Jews here in Thessalonica were causing an uproar. They were stirring up trouble, we might say today, because Paul and Silas were preaching the truth about Christ. And so Luke tells us there at verse 10 that the brethren sent Paul and Silas out of the city of Thessalonica. They kind of slipped away out of the city by night. But when they came to the city of Berea, notice what Luke tells us there at verse 11. They found again some Jews. And they come to the synagogue and they find some Jews. They were not of the same mindset as those Jews, or at least some of the Jews there in Thessalonica. When they came to Berea, they found some Jews who had an open mind. They had an eager mind. They had a very receptive mind. These were people who were committed to truth. They were not yet Christians. Verse 12 tells us that there were a number of them who heard the message and they believed that message and they became followers of Christ as well. But before that, they had this mindset that they wanted to know truth. They were seeking truth and that's all that they were seeking. And so, because they were of that mindset, Luke tells us there at that passage that they searched the Scriptures every day to make sure that what Paul and Silas was teaching them was really true. Of course, they couldn't search the entirety of the Scriptures, could they? They didn't have the completed revelation of God as we have it today. But they could still search those old Scriptures. And I believe that perhaps Paul and Silas were doing the same thing in Berea that they were doing there in Thessalonica. If you go back to verse 2, it says there, "And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ.'" They were looking at the old Scriptures. They were looking at the Old Testament. They were going back to the law and the prophets and the Psalms and using all of that information and using all of that truth, again, to point people to Jesus Christ, to give them evidence that Christ came and He fulfilled all of those Scriptures, that He really is the Christ, the Son of God. And so I believe that's what they were searching, were those old Scriptures about Jesus Christ. Why do we need to search God's Word every day? Why do we need to look into the Word of God on a daily basis? Well, as we read here in this passage, so that we will know what we hear is true, so that we can distinguish between what is truth and what is error. But there are several other reasons I think of, maybe pertaining to that, but several other good reasons why we need to be in God's Word on a daily basis. Number one, so that we will really know God. You know, we can look out here into God's creation, as Psalm 19 tells us, the first five or six verses of that psalm, and we can see that there is a God. We can know something about God, that He's a very powerful God, that He is a loving God, that He is a caring God. We can know a lot about God. We can come to know some attributes of God. But even as we look into the physical creation that God has made for us, we can't know everything that there is to know. We can't know everything that we need to know about God. The only way that we can really come to know God is to get into God's Word. The world that God has made certainly reveals something about God. But the Word that God has given to us reveals a much deeper knowledge, a more intimate knowledge about our God. And so we need to be people who just want to get into the Word of God to know God. Well, sometimes maybe as we study the Scriptures, as we search the Scriptures, maybe we're just looking for an answer to a question in a Bible class book. Not saying that that's wrong. Maybe we're sometimes just looking for an answer to a question that someone has asked us, a biblical question. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But there are times maybe we need to spend a lot more time than we do, and I'm speaking to myself as much as you, just looking into the Word of God to come to know God and to come to know who our Creator and who our Father really is, because we are supposed to be people who are like Him. That's why the Bible describes us as God's children. But secondly, we need to be searching God's Word daily so that we can really learn God's Word. Again, it's not that we're just wanting to learn a few facts, some information that will help us in a practical way, but it's so that we can really learn God's Word. We can let God's Word guide our lives. We can let God's Word, in the words of the Apostle Paul to the young preacher Timothy, there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we will get into the Word of God on a daily basis, and that is the only way that God's Word can really work on our lives. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the young preacher there at verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3. He says, "All Scripture is inspired by God, or given by inspiration of God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." The only way that we can really let God's Word reprove us, the only way that we can really let God's Word correct us and train us and equip us in the proper sense and equip us fully so that we have the tools that we need to do every good work, the only way that we can really do that is to get into the Word of God on a daily basis and to really know God's Word. As the Hebrews writer tells us, the Word of God certainly is very powerful, isn't it? It's very sharp. And it will work when we read it, and when we think about it, and when we look for ways to apply it. It will work in our lives, and it will change us. It will mold us and shape us into the kind of people that God desires that we be. But thirdly, we need to search God's Word daily so that we will see ourselves as we really are. We all perhaps have a different perception of ourselves than even someone else does. But sometimes we have a different perception of ourselves than God does. And that ought to be concerning to us when we find ourselves falling short. But I like what James says about the Word of God and our relationship to the Word of God, and even how we need to come to the Word of God with the kind of attitude that we need to come. In James chapter 1 at verse 21, he says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls." There again, as he says, we come to the Word of God, we need to come with the right heart, the right attitude. We have to come with a very humble heart. We have to come getting all the world out of us. We have to come putting ourselves to death. We can't come to the Word of God and say, "I'm still full of myself. I'm still full of my own life," and expect God's Word to really work on our life and in our life. No, we have to put all of that aside so that we can receive that pure Word and truly plant it deep within our hearts. But he goes on to say there at verse 22, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." James pictures for us here, he uses the illustration of us looking into a mirror and seeing a reflection of our face, seeing a reflection of who we are on the outside physically. And he takes that illustration and he applies it to us in the Word of God, that when we come to the Word of God, again, we come with the right attitude that we're really wanting to know God. We're really wanting God's Word to correct us and reprove us and train us and equip us. Then the Word of God, in effect, acts as a mirror, not to show us a reflection of who we are on the outside, but more to show us a reflection of who we are on the inside. And it is only as we get into the Word of God on a daily basis that we can see that true reflection and we can make changes. We will not just be people who are hearers. Some of us are good hearers, and that's certainly good for us to be good hearers of the Word of God. But why are we good hearers? It ought to be so we can be good doers of His Word. You see, if we are, as Christians, are only searching the Scriptures perhaps during our Bible classes on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, if we are only opening God's Word and we're only getting into the Word of God when we are listening to someone preach the Word of God, I would submit to you this morning that we are not going to know God as well as we should. We are not going to truly know God as well as God desires that we know Him. We will not be properly taught. We will not be properly corrected. We will not be properly trained and disciplined. We will not be properly equipped. We will not really see a true reflection of ourselves. Because what I can do in a 35 or 40 minute sermon, what we can do in a 40, 45 minute Bible class, is not everything that you and I need. The longer I preach, the longer that I teach, the more I feel like I'm just kind of hitting the surface with things. But hopefully our preaching, our teaching ought to prompt us then to search the Scriptures even more diligently and more deeply so that we can really live those in our life. We are blessed in the time in which we live that we have a lot of tools at our disposal to help us to search the Scriptures daily. Some of you, maybe a number of you, use a daily Bible reading plan. There are just a number of those. I think that those are good tools for us to use. But again, if we are just reading the Scripture, if we're sitting down for 15, 20, 30 minutes a day and we're reading, and then that is going in one ear and out the other, and that's not really making a change in our life, that's not really correcting us where we need to be corrected, if it's not really training us where we need to be trained, if it's not really putting the right tools into our hands, if it's not truly equipping us to go out and then to live as a Christian each day, It is doing us some good, but it's not doing us as much good as it ought to be. And so maybe if you're a note taker, I'm not much of a note taker. If I start taking notes, listening to someone preach or teach a class, my mind will get way off on some other thought. But there are a number of you who are note takers, and so is perhaps you do a daily Bible reading to take some notes and to reflect on those throughout the day or to come back to those at a later time. We can listen again. I've mentioned some of these things in the past. We can listen to the Bible being read. Used to be on CDs, and I don't know if that still exists. But now you have a lot of us have smartphones, and we have apps, Bible apps on our phone, and you can listen to someone reading the Bible. It may be that you're, you know, driving, you're at work, perhaps you don't have your physical book, the Bible, with you, but you can still feed on the Word of God and think about those things. This that I'm about to mention now, I know it's not directly from the Scripture, but it can help us, or at least it helps me, to read biblical articles, to read daily Scripture emails. Some of you may get those from Christians who send out a daily email with a Scripture, a passage of Scripture, and some of their thoughts. There are social media posts a lot of Christians do on Facebook now with a certain text or a certain Scripture thought for the day. And not that we just take that and that's all that we get for the day, but we let that kind of start our spiritual engines going. And we start reflecting upon what we are reading from someone. And then that prompts us again to do our own study. To me, it's sort of like listening to a sermon. It is like sitting in a Bible class. It can be for us. And there are just a lot of opportunities, a lot of tools that we have nowadays for us to daily get our minds into the Word of God. For those of us who are Christians, we must be people who are reading. We must be people who are studying and contemplating God's Word on a daily basis. But then thirdly, daily Christianity demands that you and I encourage each other. Something that the Hebrews writer says about this and makes this a point that this is to be our daily work for one another. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, the writer says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Verses 1 through 11 here in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer has called the attention of the audience that he is addressing, he has called our attention to the Israelites of old. And he has called attention particularly to the fact that those who were supposed to be God's people of old, that they ended up really being like people out in the world for the most part. He says that the Israelites on numerous occasions, they proved themselves to be very hard-hearted folks. They proved themselves to be unbelievers. They proved themselves to be disobedient to the Word of God. They tested God constantly as they traveled through the wilderness, complaining about this, complaining about that. And so the Hebrews writer here, when he comes to verse 12, he is warning us. He says, do not be like them. Because of their hardness of heart, because of their unbelief, because of their disobedience, God said to them, you will not enter into my rest. They would miss out on the promises of God. And so the Hebrews writer says to the first century Christians and to us in the 21st century, don't follow their example. And one way to prevent each other from being like the Israelites, one way to prevent each other from developing that hard heart or that heart of unbelief or that life of disobedience that results in falling away from the living God, the writer says, is to encourage one another and to encourage one another daily. He says day after day. You know, if we only encourage one another when we see each other here at this building, if we only encourage one another on Sunday or Wednesday evening, I would ask you this morning, is that really enough? Will that keep a brother or sister from leaving the Lord? We are to be constantly doing this every day in our life. And I realize that that is because of the culture in which we live. It is such a fast-paced culture. That can be a real challenge for us. And because all of us are going so many different directions every day, that can be a real challenge for us. But the fact remains that all of us, not just a few of us who are Christians, but all of us need daily encouragement to remain true to the Lord. This is one reason, of course, why God wants us to assemble as we are this morning, so that we can encourage one another. But especially those who are Christians who are weak in their faith, those who are worn out, those who are weighed down with life's problems, those brothers and sisters in Christ especially need our daily encouragement, because those things can be temptations, and maybe they're struggling with those temptations. And those things can be reasons why a brother or sister walks away from the Lord. Realize here with these Hebrew Christians that really their temptation, it seems, as you read through the book of Hebrews, was that they were wanting to go back to the law of Moses. I don't know that that's any temptation for 21st century American Christians today, but we still face temptations to quit our walk with God. And so we read about the early Christians doing just this, as the gospel has come to the city of Jerusalem. There in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 46, Luke says to us that day by day, this is what they were doing on a daily basis, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. See, these early disciples, I don't know how much they knew about the gospel of Christ. I don't know how much they knew about all the ins and outs of the gospel of Christ. They knew enough, of course, to listen to Peter and the apostles preach the gospel there on the day of Pentecost and become Christians. But here is what they understood. Now that they had made the decision to become a Christian, to become a true follower of Christ, now that they had made the decision that they had put their old man to death and that they were going to take up their cross daily, these early disciples understood their need to encourage one another. They understood their need to edify one another. And this, I believe, is why they met daily in the temple, so that they could come together and listen to the apostles teach them the Word of God. But also, notice there at verse 46 that they were meeting daily in their houses. I realize this is kind of a unique situation here, but still, there is a great truth for us to learn from their example, that we remain as Christians today, we still have that need to encourage one another, both in our public assembly, but also to do a lot of encouraging privately. These new Christians were not satisfied to see each other just 4 hours a week. They knew that they needed daily contact with each other. They knew that they needed daily communication with each other. Because these were new Christians, they knew that they needed those things, that encouragement that they could not only give to one another, but that encouragement that they could receive from one another in order to remain faithful to the Lord. They knew that Satan was now attacking them harder than he had ever attacked them. And they would need to be encouraged, each one, to resist Satan. They knew that they would need that daily encouragement one to the other so that they could grow in their faith and in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need the same today, no matter how long we have been Christians. Again, we all need daily encouragement. And so there are some ways, of course, for us to daily encourage each other. We have mentioned some of these in the past. We can visit each other, and that certainly is a great encouragement to see a brother or sister in Christ. We can call one another, or we can text one another. We can send an email to one another just to let a brother or sister in Christ know that we are thinking about them, to see if there is some way that we can serve them. We can send a card, and several of us here in this congregation are good about doing that on a pretty regular basis. We can certainly pray for one another. I don't know how many times several of you have texted me or called me just during the day that there is some situation that you are facing at that particular point in your day or in your life, and you're asking for me to pray for you. And I don't know that I have done this as much as I should, but sometimes, a lot of times, I'll say, sure, I will pray for you, and then hang up the phone or get off that text and pray for a brother or sister in Christ. But we could do that right there on the phone. We can pray for each other, and that can be a great encouragement. Well, we can get together throughout the day. We can meet at a restaurant and share a meal together, study the Scriptures together, seek God together, talk about spiritual things, and sometimes we do that, some of us, on a pretty regular basis. But there are just all kinds of things that we can do on a daily basis to truly encourage one another. I believe the New Testament makes it very clear that if we are true Christians, then encouraging one another ought to be our daily work. That ought to be our daily habit. Because being a Christian demands that of each one of us. Well, you have listened very well this morning, and I hope that something that we have said can be of practical help and benefit to you, that it will help us to look more like Jesus Christ each day. As we close, let me say to you again that Christianity is not a Sunday-only exercise. Rather, Christianity is a daily walk with daily demands. So as we close our lesson this morning, let me ask you, just very pointedly, are you practicing daily Christianity? If you're not a Christian, of course, the answer to that question is no. What you need to do, first of all, is to become a Christian. And what that means is that you're going to have to take yourself out. You're going to have to die to yourself. And you're going to have to let Jesus live in you. That He now needs to be the Lord of your life. For those of us who are Christians, are we true Christians? Are we just Christians when it is easy for us to be a Christian? Are we Christians when it's convenient for us? Are we Christians when we're in some situation in our life where it's very comfortable for us to be a Christian? Or are we proving ourselves to be true Christians every day, in every way, in every circumstance of life? Our song of invitation and encouragement this morning is number 564, Follow Me. The road that Jesus walked as He lived in this world was not an easy road. It was a very difficult road. And yet He walked all the way on that road to the very end that ended at the cross of Calvary. And He laid down His life for you and for me. And He calls upon us, if we are going to be true Christians, to come and to follow Him. And to travel that same road, knowing that at the end there will be an eternity of glory that is waiting for us in the presence of God Himself. If you need to become a Christian this morning, we would encourage you to do that. Or as a Christian, if you need to get back on that road that leads to eternal life, we would encourage you to do that. Whatever your need might be, if we can help you in some way, won't you respond to the invitation of Christ as we stand and as we sing?